Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to the book of Philemon once again. Philemon's all the way towards the back. It's right before the book of Hebrews. And we spent a few weeks here. Not sure if we're going to spend more than one more week here or not. We'll see how far we get tonight as we go through different books of the Bible. We knew we had a month opening before our Bible conference, and I'd like to talk about this interesting story. Really, what a fascinating story that's there. And we looked a little bit last week talking about the transformation that happened in Onesimus' life. And the week before that, we talked about the overall scope of the story, and we talked about how God works and moves, and talked about tonight we're going to look at it from Philemon's perspective. And because I know not everybody was here, our teenagers are out here tonight, and thankful for that. Some of our teens are out here. Mr. Bateman's off saving the world, and because of his work, wasn't able to be here. So we have a few of them out here. So we're going to go over just to remind us a little bit about the story of Philemon, and then we're going to hop into the thought from Philemon's perspective. And Philemon is the one that is the master of a servant, slave that had run away and that had taken something with him. And Onesimus was that person who had ran away. Somehow he was in Rome. Somehow he got connected with Paul, whether it was when Paul was out preaching or teaching. Sometimes he was able to do that in opening. I still like to think that it was someone he had done something wrong, got in jail, was next to Paul, and Paul won him to Christ. And then after he gets released, he becomes a blessing to Paul. And Paul comes, and after hearing what Onesimus had done, he says, you need to go back to Philemon. Or maybe it was Onesimus. We don't really know. We know the change that God made in Onesimus' life. So let's look here, go over a couple things here first. The book is written to Philemon. He has a church in his own home that you see that in verse number 2. But look at the description found in verse number 4 through 7 about Philemon. Since it's going to be the perspective of how he saw things, what Paul was asking him to do tonight, I think it'd be good to read these verses again. He says, I thank my God, this is Paul speaking about Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. So this is a neat thing. You know, he's praying. He says, look, I'm always remembering you, always lifting you before the Lord. And then he says, this is the things he's heard about him. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus. And that's where he starts off. First and most, he has love and faith toward the Lord Jesus, but also toward all saints. So he's referring to love he has, that he has heard and that he has seen towards the Lord, but also how he treats others. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I told you before, I really liked that verse. I never heard anybody preach a whole message on that verse, but there's a lot of things in there. Now, we want our communication of our faith to be effectual. We do. We want it to be effective. We don't want to just go out and tell people about the Lord and not it be effective. And I know the Holy Spirit does that work, but like Miss Mary Jo was just singing, you know, he can work through people that praise him. And that's what a person who praises him is, a person who is going to have knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. If you acknowledge the things that you have in Christ, you're going to be someone who praises the Lord. If you acknowledge all the things he's given us and the heavenly home we have, the Word of God that we have, the Holy Spirit that we have, the opportunity in prayer, you know, all the things where he has taken us from and where he has brought us, all those things combined, if we remember every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, we're going to be effective because we're going to be someone who is contagious because we're going to be someone who praises the Lord. And let's keep on going. He says, verse number 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Their response. This is encouraging. He's off in Rome. He is locked up. He's in bonds and he's there and he's not getting out right now. And he says, look, this encourages me. This brings joy. This brings consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So we have description. Not only is he someone who loves and has faith towards Jesus and love toward the saints, he's saying that he refreshes the saints. That means that they're refreshing to be around. You've ever been around somebody who's not very refreshing? Someone who kind of just drags, makes you feel worse? There's people who lift you up, and there's people who kind of just drag you down. This would be someone who would be refreshing to them. This has a brush of fresh air. And so we see it's written to him. Now, what's he asking for? he's asking. He doesn't, Philemon doesn't know this in the letter yet, but as we think about the letter, he's reading all these kind things. And let me also say one quick thing. Paul is not someone who does not have Paul has great character. He's not going to write all these nice things just so that way Philemon will do what he wants. He has better character than that. He's not going to puff him up and blow him up to be able to say, can you help me with this? That's not Paul. From his other writings, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's in the canon of scriptures. You know, these are sincere things that are written about Philemon that he truly believed, and this was his testimony. In verse number 8, he says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. So as an apostle, as a guide, as authority. Now, how did Philemon come to know Christ? We're not 100% sure. Most people believe that he had gone, and when Paul was in different areas, was teaching and preaching, people would come from all around the world to come and listen to him teach and preach. And I think under one of those times, he had heard the gospel. If not, it could have been someone else who had heard Paul preach and teach, and then from that. But you're going to see in a little while, Paul talks about a debt that Philemon owes him. And most people believe that he's someone in his travels that came to see Paul, because nowhere in the scriptures does it talk about him specifically going to where Philemon lives. But there was many, they say, came from all different parts, maybe in the areas of Colossae or other places they had traveled. So it says, wherein, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Another thing is, he has authority. And this is kind of interesting, because we're looking at it from Philemon's perspective. Paul is saying to Philemon, I want you to take your authority and I want you to reconsider Onesimus' relationship. Paul is saying here, now you know my authority. You know what you should do. I could tell you what to do, but I don't want to use my authority. I want to use your love. And Paul is saying, I don't want to use my authority over you, but I want you to consider this because of the relationship we have. He said, yet for love's sake. He could have commanded him to let Onesimus be free from the debt. He could have commanded Onesimus to come back. You know, he does not do that. He says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, talking about how he's older and the servants, and now also as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, referring to the fact he was saved under Paul's ministry while he was in jail, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. And last week, we spent a long time. I don't want to re-preach the message again, but the idea of Onesimus coming back, Philemon reading the letter, the transformation, how someone who was unprofitable becomes profitable, and how it's not just for Paul, but also for Philemon. The change that God makes in anyone's life is going to be a change for good for anyone that's involved. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is in my own, that is my own bowels. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. So Onesimus was a help to Paul. He says, I would like to keep him. He was a help and a blessing to me. Verse 14, but without thy mind, saying, if I do not know what you think about this, would I do nothing? I could not keep him myself, but I wanted to know what you thought. That thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. He says, I didn't just say, hey, I have Onesimus here, let me keep him. No, he sends him back. He wants to make sure things are right, and he wants to make sure that Philemon allows him to go on his own. For perhaps he departed for a season. And Paul is saying to Philemon, maybe this is the whole reason why it happened, that he left for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. He's thinking of the big scope of thing, how God works all those details out. Not now as a servant. Here it comes where Philemon has the authority in his life, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially, to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? He says, I want you to receive. I just don't want you to forgive. I want you to receive him as a brother. And he says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. He says, consider as if it was me that was coming to you. And if he hath wronged thee, and he had wronged him, he had stolen from him. And depending on what his position was, he had left unannounced. He had stolen and ran away. If he had wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. And we looked at that last week, how that's a picture of the scriptures, how that Jesus put our sin on his account. So Paul is not saying ignore what he's done, but instead, you know, let me pay that debt. And then verse number 19, he says, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. And once again, he's writing this letter with his own hand. He did not do that all that often. It was because of his eye problem, most people believe. He had other people that would write these letters for him. He's making it personal. Now look at the next phrase. We haven't brought this up much yet. It says, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. He's saying, I'm not bringing up what you owe me. Now, I think what he's saying here is that Onesimus owes a physical debt, and what Philemon would owe Paul may be a spiritual debt in the sense that Paul was one of the people that helped bring him to Christ. How much greater it would be of a debt if someone who brought them to Christ, if they were asking them to do something. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. He says, this is going to make me happy and joyful, and it's going to refresh my bowels in the Lord. You ever wonder if someone's going to do the right thing? And you sit there and you're worried. Sometimes I worried about when I have to talk to somebody about something and how they're going to respond. And sometimes they respond great, and that refreshes you. That gets you, man, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And then sometimes you go to talk to somebody you don't think it's going to be a big thing, and they blow out of proportion, and they don't refresh you. They instead burden you with something. He says, look, when you do this, it's going to refresh me. It's going to know that I have the right thoughts and the right testimony. We should try to be a refreshment to the Lord's people and the Lord's servants. We should be an encouragement and help. We shouldn't be the person that always is trying to cause issues and problems. And he says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Archicus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. If we spend here next week, if we go back and look at some of these fellow laborers with Paul, they have all have their own stories. Scriptures talk a little bit about them, so it's interesting to know these different people who are saluting Philemon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we're looking for your blessing. And Lord, what an interesting story. What a great story. We talked about the gospel last week out of it. We talked about how the change that was made. But what is Paul asking Philemon to do here? He's asking him to do something that is hard to do sometimes. He's asking him to forgive. And Lord, I pray you work on our hearts about being scriptural when it comes to this idea of forgiveness and not allowing bitterness in our hearts, but instead to be kind and tenderhearted, that we would be forgiving one another, as the scripture says. Lord, work in our lives. We want to be people that you can use and people that, as Miss Mary Jo was saying, that the people that praise the Lord are the people that God can work in, that you inhabit the praises of the people. And Lord, help us to be praising people. And sometimes when we don't forgive, our fellowship is broken with you, and our hearts and minds are not on how good you are, as it talked about in verse number 6, all those good things in you that we have, but instead is more about the hurts. Lord, help us tonight, especially with our upcoming Friend Day. Help us make sure there's no bitterness in our hearts, especially to those that maybe we should be inviting and forgiving, and even maybe receiving, as Paul was speaking about with Onesimus. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this, I'd like to talk for a second or two about Philemon here. And it is not a controversy, but it is something that people wonder. I even had a nice person last Wednesday night after church came up and said, if Philemon is such a good guy, like in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, how does he own a slave then? And so I did a little bit of research. You know, it's a lot more research than I thought it was going to be. There's a lot of different discussions about it. A couple of things I'd like to bring to your attention. It was something I was planning on talking about from Philemon's side either way. But we cannot interpret what first century social motives are today. We should not try to compare the two. But I don't believe it's right to own a person. I don't think we should consider a person a property. Philemon probably had these servants or slaves before he knew Christ, and he may have been wrestling with that. Sometimes we consider different things. We struggle with things we wrestle with. We do know one thing for sure. This is not the whole point of the story. Many times people don't like the book of Philemon, and that's why you probably haven't heard a lot of preaching of Philemon over the years, because it brings up the issue of slavery, and it's a hot-button topic. We know Paul, who's considered to be a great Christian under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did not feel led to say, hey, go emancipate all your servants. He doesn't say that. Instead, he attacks the issue, I believe, by saying, take this servant of yours and treat him as a brother. Paul urges Onesimus to be received not as a slave, but as a brother. The gospel of Jesus Christ always liberates and always equalizes. Everything is even at the cross. Obedience to the Bible will result in the end of slavery. I believe no one can follow the golden rule and own slaves at the same time. There were different kinds and statuses of servitudes. I use the word slaves because of the fact that that's how many of the Bible commentators, they use the word servant here over and over in the scripture when describing Onesimus. And there is a master-servant relationship that is often found in just a working type of relationship that's there. It would help. And there's also when I was doing some studying and the thousands upon thousands of slaves there was, if a good person like Philemon would release someone that was working from him and let him go out, someone else would capture him and maybe have a cruel master also. So here what Paul is attacking could be attacking what this thought of slavery or with the servitudes and saying, hey, look, when you come to a believer, especially, you should not look at him as a servant, but also a brother. In a little while, we're going to look at what it means to not only forgive, but also to receive or to restore. There's a little bit of a difference there when we talk about forgiving. But tonight, when you go, and I'm going to probably do a little bit more studying when it comes to slavery and when it comes to the challenges back in Bible times, there was different people who treated the slaves horrible. They would put people, as we mentioned already, we use that Philemon had a legal right to treat them whatever way they wanted. I remember reading the story. Someone dropped a pitcher one time and they had the person put to death just because of that. It was wrong the way that they were treated. Now, we read Philemon's description in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, and I don't see him taking advantage or abusing or treating anyone wrongly in those stories. So when it uses the words, the bowels of the saints, and it says toward all saints, I believe that whatever role and whatever relationship he had with the people that work with him would have been God-honoring and God-fearing. Now, do I know what the Bible was silent about exactly what their relationships were? Because there was many different statuses, difference. Paul was not instructed to write and say, you need to let him go and do what he wants. He says, receive him back as a brother. Did not say he no longer had to work with him or be his servant, but as instead of treating him as just a servant, treat him as a brother when they were working together. So hopefully that ends up a little bit more, makes a little bit of things easier to understand. There is a lot of different good books and information talks about Bible customs that if you'd like to look a little bit more about it, I'd be glad to help you with that. So Paul sends Onesimus back, and not only does he ask him to forgive him, he asks him to receive him. Now there's a little bit of a difference. So the first thing I want you to see is, what happens to an individual when you fail to forgive? I want you to take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4 now. Now, I know we spent a lot of time here in the last couple weeks. We've been in this book, and I think you're pretty familiar with that. But the rest of the message is going to be talking about from Philemon's side and how the Bible says we're supposed to be forgiving people. Ephesians chapter number 4, some very familiar passages of Scripture. We're going to refer to a couple of these different passages of Scripture. And when Paul is telling Philemon, hey, look, it's going to be best that you receive him as a brother, that you forgive him for what he's done, and you put that on my account. What he's doing, he says, I want you to forgive him, because forgiving a person actually is something that's going to help the individual. When a person chooses not to forgive, it's something that is a harm to the individual. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go ahead and read verses 30 through 32. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So here in verse number 30, there's a little bit of a connection. Verse number 30 says we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But the ways we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God is found in verse 31. We don't let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, we put those things away from us with all malice. But instead, we're kind and we're tenderhearted and we're forgiving. When we do not forgive, there's some things that happen. There's four things I'd like you to think about tonight as we consider what from Philemon's side. If Philemon would have chosen not to forgive Onesimus, you know what would have happened? There could be bitterness in his heart. The Bible speaks much about bitterness, and the longer a believer dwells on an offense that's committed against them, the more bitter they become. Bitterness is not just a sin, it's an infection. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What the scripture is saying here is if we allow and we learn not to forgive and we dwell on something, bitterness comes up. And not only does bitterness come up, it springs up. And it doesn't just say it's a problem for me, it says it's a problem for all those. And those last couple of words, we would think, thereby many be defiled. How many of us says, hey, if I don't want to forgive, that's my problem, that's my issue. I'm the one that has to deal with it, no one else has. You ever had to deal with somebody that's bitter? You're not the only one dealing with it. The other people that are around you are dealing with it. A person who's bitter, many times their speech is cutting, is sarcastic, many times even slanderous. Bitterness distorts a person's whole outlook on life. It produces violent emotions, intolerance, and thoughts of revenge. And failure to forgive will imprison a believer in their past. Unforgiveness keeps the pain alive. But when we learn to forgive, many times it is a release. And I think what Paul is telling the Philemon, it's important to forgive and to restore the same that he tells us in Hebrews chapter number 12, because if we dwell on it and we choose not to forgive, it is something that will continue to spring up in our lives until we've dealt with it. When we fail to forgive, it produces bitterness. Not only then, when we fail to forgive, the Bible says it gives Satan an open door. It gives Satan an open door. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 27. Be angry and sin not. I like this. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, I've heard the stories said a couple different ways. I found a different one. This guy named from Texas named Don said he and his wife had been married for over 50 years. He said the secret was they never went to bed without settling any differences between them. He had heard that before too. But Don said there was more than one occasion that they did not go to sleep for 10 days in a row. 10 days, because they didn't want to get it right. So we got to make sure that we understand what the Bible says here. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And that's the important part. We all say, okay, we got to. But here's the thing. It says, neither give place to the devil. We give place to the devil. The Bible's saying that we open the door up to the devil when we choose not to forgive. We must learn that. Now, like I said, there's a difference between forgiving and restoring somebody back to a position. And I know sometimes people say, well, you don't have to forgive until the person asks for forgiveness. But for your own heart's sake, I believe it's good to forgive an individual. Because when we have bitterness and we're angry and we sin not, you know, and we allow these things to continue on in our heart, it says gives place to the devil. Devil's good enough at what he does. Had somebody this morning text me something. He says, the devil's really good at what he does because they were discouraged by something that had happened. And he is very good. We don't need to open the door for him. We don't need to open the door for him. And if you have bitterness in your heart, the Bible's saying that you're leaving the door open. You're giving place for the devil to work in your life. The next thing is when you fail to forgive, not only does it give bitterness an opportunity, the devil an open door, but it hinders our fellowship with God. It hinders our fellowship with God. You see, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God in verse number 30. Also, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So specifically what the scripture says, if we're supposed to be forgiving one another, then at the same time, when we choose not to do what God's calls us to do, that means there's iniquity in my heart, and I am not, my fellowship with God's not going to be the best. Now, once again, there's a difference between a relationship and a fellowship. The relationship of the Father and Son, the Heavenly Father and a child of God, that does not change. But the fellowship can be broken, as the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Think about what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, that is not talking about the complete comprehensive forgiveness that accompanies salvation, but that is talking instead about the fellowship that we have with Him. Currently, we're saved, our salvation is secure, but there is a process in our sanctification that God is molding us and making us more like His Son, and part of that is with forgiveness. You're not acting more like God in any other way than when you forgive someone. It's the one way that we can look most like our Heavenly Father is when we choose to say to someone that we forgive them. Last but not least, when it comes to what happens when we fail to forgive, we allow bitterness and we give Satan an open door. It hinders the fellowship of God. I also think it usurps God's authority. It usurps God's authority. Think about what it says in Romans 12, verses 17 through 19. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, and I like that phrase, I'm glad it's in there. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. By refusing to forgive others and seeking our own revenge, we usurp the authority of God. God says, I will take care of this, but when we choose to try to take care of it ourselves, then in all reality, we're saying we know better than God. Failing to forgive people, believers presume to take the sword of divine judgment out of God's hand and puts it in their hand. And the most important thing to remember about that is God is far more able to help other people than we are. If I can do this to this individual, this is what they need. They need, in all reality, God is able to know what they need. They know their thoughts. They know their intents. They know exactly what they need to hear in order to get the help they need. And sometimes when people seek revenge, oh, I'm just trying to help them. They need to know truth. They need this. And we're all guilty of it. I know I am. I try to do things to try to cause people to, hey, this is going to help them. But in all reality, the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Recompense no man evil for evil. It's freeing to forgive and then trust the Lord to deal with that person. It's freeing when we do things God's way. And that's what I think Paul is saying to Philemon here. He's saying, Philemon, this is Philemon's side. Philemon has the right because as a servant or slave, whatever you want to call him, because he stole something, they would have the right to put him to death. But Paul's saying, hey, look, I don't want you to just forgive him for what he's done. He says, not only do that, I want you to lift him up in your view of him. I want you to make him as a brother. I want you to treat him differently. Now, if there was other servants there, what would that have done? That would have caused maybe hardship and grief inside their home. I do not know what Philemon's relationship with the other servants were, but at the same time, if someone does something wrong and we choose not to correct them and punish them, and we choose, then you say, well, the other people will not learn. So let's see here. The first thing is when we fail to forgive, we produce bitterness. It gives Satan an open door, fellowships with God, and it usurps God's authority. Now, there are clear things in the scripture. Obviously, parents need to correct their children. There are times in the Bible if someone's offended you, you go to them, other things like that, obviously. But we're talking about just choosing not to forgive, specifically even when someone is seeking forgiveness. Second thing is, not only when we fail to forgive, second thing is why we should forgive. Why we should forgive. And I like this verse here at the end of verse number 32. It says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There was a debt that Onesimus owed. He says, I want you to forgive Onesimus because I'm willing to pay his debt for you. Just as it says, as it says in verse number 32, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, because of the fact that God forgives us because of what Jesus did, we are able to forgive others because of what Christ did for us too. You think about the great debt that we owe, our sin debt. And there was a parable that Jesus talked about, and I think we'll go and read it pretty quickly in Matthew chapter 18. Most of you know the parable, and I might just talk through a little bit of it. But in Matthew chapter 18, if you want to take your Bible there, Jesus teaches that parable about the man who owed a tremendous debt. I believe it was 10,000 talents, and he could not pay it back. The person begged for forgiveness, and the king said, okay, I'll forgive you your debt. He asked, the person not only asked for, did not ask for forgiveness, but instead asked for time to pay it all back, and the king was willing to clear him completely and totally. Look what it says in Matthew 18, verse number 21. Then came Peter to him, and he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And that's a lot. I had to call somebody, it was another preacher the other day, and I said to him, hey, I'm sorry I didn't call you back earlier. And he said to me, he says, that's okay, you have over 400 left mistakes for today. And I thought that was kind of cute. I never had somebody tell me you have 489 mistakes still left. I says, wow, I should not ignore your calls more often. And so it's 400, and it was kind of neat, but the story is here. Is that you see, it says in verse number 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which had taken account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought before unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. That was a lot of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, some of the different commentators are speculating that Onesimus maybe had owed Philemon a debt, and that's the reason why he was working for him. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He gave it up completely. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a very, very tiny amount of money. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And as his fellow servant fell down at his feet, same type of response he had toward the king, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion upon thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. So that it gives you the story here that Jesus paid this great sin debt for us. Shouldn't we also be willing to forgive others? It's the idea that he has encompassed the sins of the world, and they were laid upon him, and he died as a sacrifice for us. And when someone wrongs us, it could hurt us, yes, but no one has ever hurt us as much as we've hurt Jesus. And just like that king that was willing to forgive those thousands upon thousands of dollars, and that other guy said, hey, I want that 20 bucks you owe me, it's a sad picture. You would think that that man would be compassionate and patient because of the fact that the king was passionate and compassionate and patient with him, but no. He said, no, I want my money. If not, I'm going to put you in jail. And we look at that and we think that story is horrible. But it's the picture of the fact that what God has forgiven us is so much and so great. And when others, and yes, others do hurt us and others do harm us and others do wrong. But for Christ's sake, we can forgive them. Because of what Christ did for us, we're also able to forgive. So before we go any farther, just another little quick thought here. Because when people talk about forgiveness, sometimes it's hard to understand, okay, Pastor, someone stole a bunch of money from them, stole a bunch of money from me, should I give them my checkbook? No, you really shouldn't. But you can forgive someone, but it does not mean that we're going to restore them to a position. I like the story. I thought a little bit about this, about, remember when Paul and Barnabas went, John Mark messed up, John Mark leaves. And as John Mark leaves, later on, he wants to join back up. I bet you Paul would have forgiven him. But Paul didn't think he was able to go yet on the next journey. He says, no, I don't want to take John Mark. There's reasons why we don't need to take John Mark. Paul and Silas instead goes off, and Barnabas takes John Mark. If you go to the end of Philemon, you look at all those different characters, there's one named Marcus there. And most commentators, when they use Marcus, it's the same as John Mark, that he's there and he is a fellow servant with Paul, and they're saluting Philemon. That later on, and we see here even that it talks about John Mark and being taken, to bringing the books and things about Timothy. Hey, bring John Mark with you because he is profitable for the. He was forgiven and he was restored back to the position once he had earned that spot of trust again. Just because someone harms us and we forgive them, it does not mean that we always restore them to that position. The restoration is based on trust. Just as what Paul and Barnabas had done. Barnabas had taken Mark, and it was a profitable service. Obviously, he grew in his work with the Lord. He grew in his thoughts with the Lord. And it came to the spot at the end of Paul's life. He says, hey, look, John Mark is a prophet for the ministry. He's profitable for the ministry. Before, Paul didn't want to take him. Surely Paul was getting ready to go out on the mission journey. He had forgiven John Mark. His heart had been fine, but he says he's not ready for this. And just because we ask for forgiveness, someone asks for forgiveness, it means that we are supposed to forgive, but it does not mean that you have to put your family in some type of dangerous or harmful spots. Paul was very intense in the service, and God had a plan. He sent John Mark and Barnabas out, and then sent Paul and Silas out. To me, this is a remarkable story. This man leaves, he steals, God transforms him, and Paul is sending it back. And like last week, we saw Onesimus walking up the path and Philemon opening up the letter and reading the letter. This guy's profitable and amazing what he's sitting there reading. And then he reads, now I want you to receive him as a brother. He says, not only do I want you to forgive him, I don't want you just to forget about the debt. I'll pay that debt for you. I want you to forgive him, and I want you to restore him to service. I don't want you even just to restore him to the service that he was before. I want you to lift him up not only as a servant, but I want you to see him as a brother, not just any brother, as a partner. If you consider me a partner, I want you to look at him that way because he has earned that because of the way he has treated me. That was the transformation that happened. So Onesimus was right. Onesimus got his heart right. Onesimus was serving God. Now it's up to Philemon. Philemon has to decide, am I going to forgive? Bitterness really hurts us more than it hurts the person we're angry with. The bitterness that eats up inside of us, yes, we might think it's hurting that other individual, but it keeps us awake at night. It's the one that kind of rouses us up inside. It's the one that we're the ones that think about it, and we're the ones that bothers. And we got to be careful because bitterness will spring up in our life, and it won't just defile us. It says it will defile many. I've seen churches hurt because of people's bitterness. I've seen families hurt because of people's bitterness. Lives torn apart that were happy and full of joy just because they were not willing to forgive. So tonight, it's an interesting story. You saw what the Bible says about forgiveness. The question is, are you willing to forgive? And I think sometimes we need to pray and ask God to bring things to our mind. Not that we're trying to bring up or rehash hard things, but the Bible does tell us the Holy Spirit to search us. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if there be any bitterness in my heart. See if there is something that I need to get right with someone else or something that I need to say, I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to take the vengeful sword out of my hand, and I'm going to give over to the Lord and trust God to take care of the situation, trust God to take care of the issues and the problems. Philemon was told, I want you to forgive. But he says, I want you to do it for the right reasons. You ever had to make two kids say they're sorry to one another? And I mean, they're shake hands and they're kind of grudgingly, oh, I don't want to, I'm sorry. You know, they say it in between their, I'm sorry. You know, they're not sorry at all. You forced them to do that. Paul says, me as an authority over you, as an apostle, and you over someone who has a church in your own home, I could have told you to do this. But God wants us to forgive, not because he's being commanded to. He says, I want it to be willingly, and I want it to be done out of love. That's what Paul's saying. I could force you to let me have Onesimus, but I want you to do it willingly. I want you to do it out of a loving heart. I want you to forgive, because the person that's going to help the most, it's Philemon. The person that's going to get the most help out of this, is Onesimus. No. Philemon can choose to freely do as he please. I can choose to forgive. I'm going to break the yoke of bondage of bitterness. I'm going to break the yoke of how someone has harmed me, and I'm going to give that over to the Lord, because I am willingly and freely of my own self says, yes, I forgive you. And in Philemon's sake, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to receive you. But if you're not going to allow yourself to be broken from that sin of bitterness or that hard feelings, that open wound that constantly keeps on getting rubbed in more and more, the person you're hurting the most is you. You're not hurting that other individual the most. Philemon is going to get the most help when he says, I'm willing to forgive. Now, we don't know what Philemon's state was. Philemon could have already forgotten about Onesimus. Philemon could have already forgiven him. Philemon could have been just happy to see Onesimus and just excited. We don't know how the whole story went, but that picture and that story is written in the Bible for a reason. It's because it's telling us we need to learn how to forgive like Philemon did. And at other times, we need to learn how to trust like Philemon and like Paul did and restore someone so that they can serve. Sometimes, yes, people get disqualified from doing certain things because of certain things they do. Other times, they can be trusted again because they've earned that respect and that trust again. But forgiveness is something the Bible says. 70 times 7. So next time someone tells you they're sorry, tell them it's okay. You have 489 more to go today. And maybe they'll think that's cute. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight.